imagine what it must have been like when the guns fell silent at the end of World War II. 72 million dead. And then, all of a sudden, peace. It must have been surreal. It must have taken some coming to grips with. Peace always does. I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're continuing with the next message in a series called We Are More Than Conquerors. And I want to have a close look at this thing called peace and that sweet taste of victory, because that's God's plan for your life, peace and victory. So let's head into God's Word, and do stay tuned, because in a few minutes I'll be telling you about a free daily resource that I love to send you to help you lay hold of the peace and the victory that God has ready and waiting for you. World War II was the deadliest war in all of history. The estimates are that some 72 million people were killed. Just stop and take that in. 72 million. My parents lived through World War II in Europe. They don't speak about it much, but just piecing bits and pieces together, the war footage I've seen on TV, the snippets from my family, the cold, hard statistics, I just can't imagine it. It must have been horrific. Must have been just unbelievable. The destruction, the fear. Can you imagine? But the thing that I try most to imagine, and I just can't imagine it, is what it must have been like the day the guns fell silent. Not the celebrations in the streets that followed, but in that instant, in that moment when the clock ticked over in May 1945 and the killing stopped. Peace. Victory. What did it feel like? I gained a unique perspective from a Jewish woman now well in her 80s who was there. She, her mother and her sister had been shipped off to Auschwitz. When they arrived, she was separated into a different queue from her family, and she never saw them again. She was young and strong and ended up working as a seamstress in Germany, making uniforms for the soldiers. In the weeks leading up towards the end of the war, she told us about the rumours. The young women were there, and they'd whisper secretly about what was going on, but no one really knew until the day when the Allied forces marched into the city where she'd been imprisoned and set her free. I shall never forget the look in her eyes when she shared that moment with me. Victory, finally, after all this, victory. How sweet must the taste have been. How sweet when the guns fell silent, when VE Day was declared on May the 8th, 1945. Victory, peace, it's all over. Can you imagine? Last week on the program, we were talking about the fact that God's heart is for us to have victory in life, for us to have peace in life, for us to be more than conquerors, as the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It doesn't matter what we're fighting against, struggling against, God wants us to have peace. But here's the problem. Amongst the ranks of those who bear the name of Christ, the armies of Christian soldiers amongst those ranks, in many units, in many places, all they know of peace is rumours. They've heard that peace is coming, but don't know that it's actually here. It's arrived. Peace has broken out. The guns have fallen silent. Hostilities have ceased. The one who has placed his or her faith in Jesus Christ the Saviour has peace, can live in peace. This one has victory, can live in victory. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. When we put our faith in Jesus, we are made right with God, justified, and so we have peace with God through Jesus. This is the grace in which we now stand. That peace, that victory over death, is something that each believer possesses here and now. And what's more, we're meant to live in it. We're meant to experience the sweet taste of victory here and now. You know what I find scary? Worldwide, there are billions of people who, one way or another, believe in Jesus. Billions. But so many in the midst of God's kingdom haven't woken up to the fact that victory is ours. The guns have fallen silent. Peace has broken out. It's time to taste the sweet taste of victory. Now, you may say to me, Bernie, how can that be so? Look at what's going on in my life. Look at the battles that I'm fighting on so many fronts. How can you say that peace has broken out? How can you say to me, taste the sweet taste of victory, when I don't even know if I'm going to make it through today, let alone tomorrow? And my answer to you is this, 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You go back and listen to the Apostle Paul's words on being more than a conqueror, that great long list of afflictions he sets out, and what you realize is that he wasn't talking necessarily about victory over his circumstances. He was talking about victory amidst his circumstances. The victory that Jesus bought for you and for me on that cross is a victory that is meant to make us strong in the middle of all that we're going through. My friend, we can have peace. In fact, we're meant to have peace right now, here, today. The moment we believe in Jesus and what he did for us, in that very instant, the clock ticks over, the guns cease to fire, and there is peace, blessed peace between God and us. And his victory, the victory over death that Jesus purchased on the cross when he paid for my sin and yours, the victory of a new life that's there to be lived now. You know what I ache for? You know how I shared that look in the eye of that elderly Jewish woman as she told me about that day she was set free? I ache to see that look in the eyes of every man and woman and child who believes in Jesus. I ache to see that freedom, that peace, that victory become the dominant reality in the life of each one who's put their faith in Jesus. Why? Because when we live our lives in that truth, in that reality, we become more than conquerors. The things that once shot fear into our hearts no longer have an impact. The trials encountered in the wildernesses we walk through become opportunities to discover a mysterious God instead of ordeals of dread. My friend, Jesus came to set us free. He came to give us victory, and he came to make us more than conquerors. After all the destruction and mayhem and mess in our lives, why wouldn't we want to live out that freedom, conquer the enemy, and taste the sweet, sweet taste of his victory? I tell you, that's how I've decided to live my life. I've decided to take Jesus at his word and simply believe that he means for me not to be some angry, stunted, bitter little person, but instead to taste that sweet taste of God's victory. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, let me ask you this. Would you like to draw closer to God into a rich, intimate, dynamic relationship with Jesus? Into a relationship where you're actually living out the victory that we've been talking about today? Well, that's what our free daily e-devotional, Fresh, is all about. Words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, your tablet, or your computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. A short daily devotional to take you closer to God by getting deeper in his word. God's word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. For instant access, stop by our mobile-friendly website right now, christianityworks.com, and you'll see the fresh e-devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll also receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again is christianityworks.com. Now, the Apostle Paul talks about us being more than conquerors over the adversities of life. That's a cool idea, but how does that fit with humility? How does that fit with Jesus saying, blessed are the meek? As things turn out, actually, it's a perfect fit. So let's dive into God's Word and see what being more than conquerors means for your life, here and now. Victory. Victory is a word that Christians love to bandy around. Paul the Apostle writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, okay. But what does that actually mean? I mean, what is victory? I mean, victory is nice. But on the other hand, victory can be pretty ugly too. We don't have to look too far back in history to see how victory in a war has come at a terrible price. How victory of one group of people has brought terrible pain and oppression to other groups of people. Surely if God tells us that those who believe in Jesus are more than conquerors, it has to be a different kind of victory. The picture of a conquering army may conjure up images of victory, but what about the death and destruction that it took to get there to become a conqueror in the first place? No. If God is talking about some sort of victory in our lives when we put our faith in His Son Jesus, then it has to be a different kind of victory, a pure victory, a sweet victory, a good and a wholesome and wonderful victory. Because if it's not that sort of a victory, then surely it can't be from God. Question is, when God talks about victory, what sort of victory is He talking about? What does He mean when He speaks the word victory into our lives? What exactly is His plan when it comes to making us more than conquerors? In the world's eyes, victory is about winning. And winning is everything. It's a winner-takes-all model. There's no glory in coming second in this world. In fact, a lot of what victory is about is actually beating the other guy. It's about me thumping my chest and telling myself how great I am because I beat you. But when God in His Word through the Apostle Paul talks about us being more than conquerors, that's Romans chapter 8 verses 35 to 39, see, it's not the world's kind of victory that He has in mind. God has an entirely different notion of what victory means. Have a listen to this beautiful psalm, Psalm 149. We don't know who wrote it, but clearly this is a psalm of praise after God gave His people, Israel, a great victory. Have a listen. Psalm 149, verses 1 to 5. If you have a Bible, open it up there. Here's what it says. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise His name with dancing, making melody to Him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches. God's given them some great victory over an enemy that's threatened them. And instead of beating their chests and slapping one another on the back and telling each other how utterly amazing they were in that battle and how they whopped the enemy and good on me and good on you, what do? They sing praises to God and give thanks to Him and give Him the glory, all the glory. And in that passage, this one verse leaps out at me. Have another listen. It's verse 4 of Psalm 149. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with victory. God gives victory not to those who are full of themselves, but to the humble. There's an amazing scene at the end of World War II when General Dwight D. Eisenhower, the supreme Allied commander of Europe, addressed the British Parliament following victory in Europe. He said, "Humility must be the measure of a man whose success was bought with the blood of his subordinates and paid for with the lives of his friends." You know something? That bit about success bought with the blood of subordinates and paid for with the lives of friends, that rings so true when I look at the victory I have in my life. It's a victory purchased for me through the blood and the life of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth, suffered incredibly, was nailed, brutally nailed to a cross, and died a gruesome death for one reason and one reason alone: to pay the price of my rebellion and yours, to pay the price of our failures and losses and defeats, and let me call it what it is, to pay the price of my sin and yours. That's where it was purchased, our victory. Through none of our good works, none of our virtues, none of our hard work, it was all done for us that we might have life eternal. Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 54 to 57, "When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." God is looking to make us more than conquerors, but in a humble sort of a way. When you and I defeat sin in our lives, when we overcome this obstacle and climb over that mountain, by faith cast that other mountain into the sea, none of that is done in our power or our strength. None of that is through our own abilities. It's all about the power and the mercy and the grace of God. And this God is looking for humble conquerors. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory. Psalm 149, verse 4. And again in James chapter 4, verse 6. He gives all the more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. My friend, when we taste the victories in life that God brings, they are so incredibly sweet. I know. I know that there are those amongst us today who are facing absolutely impossible odds. I know that there are those caring for the mother with Alzheimer's disease. There are those struggling to put food on the table. There are those, even in parts of the world where this program is heard, who are fleeing for their lives. But as the Apostle Paul writes, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor power nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. Whilst we can get pretty bruised and battered in the struggles we face in this life, whilst all too often we feel in our heart of hearts that we're losing the battle, God has something else in mind for you. His will for your life is that you should live in the victory that Jesus purchased for you on that brutal, bloody cross. According to his word, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called The Sweet Taste of Victory. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you lay hold of and live in that very victory. In fact, each chapter contains a series of life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. In the short time that we have left today, there's a deception that I want to address, a deception that's designed to drag you away from the victory that Jesus has already won for you. The world keeps on wanting to tell us that it's all about winning, but winning is a worldly concept, not a godly one. What Jesus has in mind for you is entirely different. It's a victory so decisive that it'll last you an absolute eternity. And it's important that we don't get those two confused.
Have you ever noticed that things aren't always what they seem? What this world holds out to be victory is not always what God holds out to be victory. In fact, the world's victory is at the complete opposite end of the scale to what God calls victory. That's why the things that Jesus says, in fact, many of the things that God says throughout the Bible, seem so topsy-turvy, upside down, wrong way round. If we look at them through the world's eyes, they appear plain wrong. They're foolishness through the world's eyes. Take, for instance, one of the most famous of all Jesus' sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. Nowhere is this stark contrast between God's victory and the world's victory more evident than in the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. If you've got a Bible, grab it, open it up at Matthew chapter 5. We're reading from verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who, when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you." I mean, just have a think about this. Doesn't it feel completely upside down? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. For goodness sake, what's Jesus thinking? It definitely doesn't fit with the world's formula. It definitely doesn't fit with the sort of victory that we often hunger for and ask God for. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. See, the world tells us that blessed are the rich and the happy and the proud and those who are full and those who have enough. But look at the crunch bit at the end. Look at the reward, the prize of this upside down, topsy-turvy victory that Jesus is proclaiming to his disciples. It happens in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. "Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you." I don't know about you, but when people revile me and they persecute me and they utter all kinds of evil against me falsely because I believe in Jesus, I don't feel particularly blessed in those moments, right? We don't, because it's hard. And Jesus is saying, just hang on a minute. Get the big picture. Get the big picture of God's victory in our lives. Rejoice, be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. My friend, if the one is different from the other, if the world's victory is different from God's victory, so entirely different, let me ask you, which one is the imposter and which one is the truth? Well, which one? The one that offers a party today and nothing for eternity, or the one that involves goodness and sacrifice and honor and grace today and an eternity in the presence of God? That's something that each one of us has to decide for ourselves. I can't shove this down your throat. That's not my job. You won't be surprised to know that I happen to lean to one much more than I lean to the other. To me, it seems pretty straightforward. It seems pretty obvious. But then that's just me, isn't it? Things aren't always what they seem. All that glitters is not gold. Let me encourage you to put your faith not in the world, but in the one who is trustworthy, in the one who is worthy of our trust. Let me encourage you with the reality that anyone who puts their faith in Jesus the Christ is more than a conqueror, more than a victor, with an abundant, victorious life, now and forever. That's the promise that Jesus gives us when we lay hold of the victory that he had planned for us. God's victory, not the world's.
Well, that's pretty much all we have time for today. But before I go, there's something very important that I need to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus. And that means living life not as a victim, but as a victor. God's word is very clear. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw closer to God. So dive into the Media Lounge to watch our weekly Christianity Works TV broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of the teaching that you need for whatever you've got going on in your life today. Remember, everything on the site is free, including the booklet I mentioned earlier, The Sweet Taste of Victory, and the fresh daily e-devotional. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact in your life, to bring you his joy and his peace and his power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.